Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything It's How You Do Everything radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment for yesterday was, how do you avoid discomfort? So shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sounds like we have somebody who's on the call but not listening.
Hello? Okay, well, I'm going to try another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, I love that. Is this howdy? First, I'm going to say howdy.
Howdy.
And that's the term I've been using for this, how you do everything. When I'm making recordings, I just label it howdy 1, howdy 2, 2A, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm happy to be here with everybody. And this is Janice in Victoria.
All right. Well, glad to have you with us. Happy that you're here.
Oh, it's such a blessing. It is so incredible. And I guess I just want to back up a little bit, because the way this is all laid out is that if something gets in the way of me actually doing the assignment, and that could be a variety of things, I know I can just pick it up the next day wherever I am. I just keep going, and then I can go back. So there's not that, I know I can go back. I can always go back, but I pick it up and I keep up, and so that takes a lot of pressure off.
Yes, well, it's such a good point, isn't it? Because one of the stories that the voices use against you is, well, you didn't do it, okay? So that's a failure. And, of course, the ever popular, you might as well quit.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is, no, actually, I'm right here, right now. I can do this assignment. And I can go back in the book and do whatever assignment I missed, because when I do that, that'll be the assignment I'm doing now, and there's no problem.
Yes. Yes. And there's no problem. And I find that I add to the assignments. I go back and I add little things as I'm doing it. So that, for example, right at the very beginning, my art was, I made a card, and I made it with all sorts of squiggles and things, and I could fill in and color. And it's something I used to do as a really little child. And I thought it was called a bezime, because my parents always said, that's a nice design. So anyhow, I keep filling in more and more, and there are so many great quotes that insights that people are saying, and I just think, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm putting that on the card.
Yes. Yes. Oh, what a wonderful practice. So you have an insight that goes with that at some point later, and you know where you want to put that. You know where that one fits, and you put that one there, and it just, what is it? It's like I know what it's like. I have been away from home for a while, and I got home, and all the trees have, however you would say it, leafed out in the very short period of time that I was gone. And that's what I picture with what you're saying. So there's there's what you start out with, and then you just keep adding to it, and it gets fleshed out, would we say, or fuller, or more comprehensive, or It's blossoming.
Yeah.
It's leafing.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted just really, I was so excited I was about the horoscope, because what I saw was as I started writing about the horoscope, it was, you know, I don't read horoscopes, so I'm not quite sure how they're really written. But I started to write, like, you will be, or it will, you know, it was all kind of future. And I thought, oh, this is nonsense, because this is all really happening right now. You know, I am this, or, you know, it is this. You know, I'm happy to be here. You know, it's not like I'm going to be happy in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know exactly how horoscopes are written, but then something just dropped in, and it sounded like, oh, this is good advice. And it was just, I wrote it right down on the paper for my horoscope. Play is the way.
Uh-huh. Play is the way. Uh-huh. And I bet the planets and the stars are lining up for you to pursue that way.
Yeah, and I bought this little thing, you know, a few weeks ago, when I thought, I don't know what I'm quite going to do with it, but it, you plug it into a USB and it lights up, you know, like as if you and Michael were on the radio show, and it would light up and say, on air. You know, it's letter. You put your own letters in. So I've got that here. I'm listening to the radio show, and I put it together this morning, and it says, it's all lit up where I'm sitting by the fire, and it says, play is the way.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, this is very good. Because support is helpful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
because
which is again a commercial for recording and listening, because forgetting is just what we're trained to do as human beings, and it's not like we're forgetting because we're so present, right? We forget
right.
because we're so distracted. So
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, all the yeah. reminders that we can get. Yeah. All right.
So that's,
thank
that's
you, Janice.
How, and that's how I avoid discomfort. I would say that it is with distraction.
Ah.
So uh-huh. when I come back to something like that, it's a reminder.
Yeah. Yes. And it brings you to the experience that you choose instead of going down one of conditioning's paths of misery based on an unconscious discomfort, an unconscious, unexamined discomfort that triggers all these habitual behaviors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very good.
Play yeah.
the way.
Play
all
is
right,
the way.
Go.
Thank you.
Playing along. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you and Ashwini and everyone putting this all together and participating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Janice. You know, Sherry, the thing that dropped in for me around that conversation is we get to see how the conditioned process works in personality, and the way in which life works or life expresses through us in all of these wonderful different ways.
Mm-hmm. And are you including in that the things that we've been taught to believe are a problem or a difficulty or whatever?
Yeah, well, the whole notion of play is sort of what life, that's how life is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We play. And so uh-huh. to do this exercise from the perspective of all of those dimensions that we have the ability to do the exercise from the conditioned reaction, from watching the conditioned reaction, from just expressing what life is expressing and watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's the attitude of mind, isn't it?
Yes.
The attitude
mm-hmm.
of mind and heart of play. And then there's no problem with anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we hear from our next caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Carol again from Philadelphia.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Carol. Hello, do you hear me?
Hi there.
Hi, it's Carol again from Philadelphia.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Extremely grateful to be right here. This is simply wonderful, and I'm particularly glad that I am able to say what's in my heart. I'm aware of, let me go back to, in response to the question, where would I like to be in 5 years? This, I said at that time, and remember I'm 88, nothing that I'm aware of, what are you doing that will keep you from that? Nothing that I'm aware of, this retreat is uppermost along with everything else. There may be an opportunity for awareness right there because this is one more thing to add to my to-do list. But I refer to it as uppermost. And then I said, but I'm sure that ego is in here somewhere. But then what happens to you when you feel uncomfortable? And my discomfort, let me sort of set the scene. I live with my daughter and son-in-law and my two grandchildren, 11 and 13. This morning there was an issue. The kids had late, because of the snow, there was an opportunity to come to school 2 hours late, 2 hour delay. There was an issue about missing boots, and words were exchanged, and after everybody left, I was uncomfortable. So I see that I distract myself by finding something that needs doing and do it. Then how do you avoid discomfort? It either comes unexpectedly or I try to stay on top of my to-do list. Well, this morning there's too much going on too quickly. And then what do you have in your life and what do you exclude from your life in order to avoid? What I have available to me is this awareness practice. Now, here's the drop-in. What I exclude is spontaneity. Now,
we could call presence, right?
I guess so. I guess so. I do have a very long to-do list. My daughter and son-in-law are fully engaged in their work, and when they come home at night, they're quite tired. And so I am very much a part of life here, and there is a lot to do.
Right.
So here I am, just so happy to hear your voice and to be on with you.
Well, you know, Carol, what strikes me about that, about what you're saying, I think it's so important for all of us, and it's kind of what Ashwini and I were just talking about, that there is this long to-do list. God knows in this day and time, we all have more to do on a given day than there are hours in the day to do it. And we probably don't want that to change, right?
Because we do
these things because they're important to us to do. But it's how we do it that makes all the difference, right? So can I do a little dance step on my way to fold the laundry? Or can I sing a little tune as I'm doing the dishes? So can I be present in that way that acknowledges the joy that I'm actually experiencing in my life that I'm not allowed to have because of the negativity?
Yes. Yes.
All right. No, that's good. Well, I picture you today with your long to-do list, with a little dance step here and a little tune there and a having fun with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye.
Well, play is the way, Sherry.
Play is the way. I think we ought to all be dancing and singing along with Carol today and with Janice and hopefully with everybody. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hey, Ellie.
Hello, Ellie.
Hi. I want to thank you all for this wonderful year-long retreat. It's been just amazing. I've seen a lot. How do I distract myself from discomfort?
From discomfort? Uh-huh.
Yeah. In looking at that, I realized that there's a conversation about what's going to be uncomfortable that's supposedly taking me out of the discomfort. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those bamboozles that I totally hadn't seen.
Yeah.
I'm put into discomfort by a conversation about avoiding discomfort.
Yeah. Oh boy, Ellie. I would bet that if I don't know why I always go to diagramming sentences, but if we were to lay out that process, so I'm talked into a conversation about X in order to avoid X. We could fill in a lot of X's there. Discomfort, yes. And you know, just run down a quick list of all of the things that conditioning attempts to get us to avoid, and then how much we're pulled into a conversation about that very thing under the guise of being protected somehow from having an experience. So we're put into the experience under the guise of this will avoid the experience.
I actually had a huge workshop with that this morning because I've been practicing just driving in the car and not listening to recordings because there was a lot of discomfort coming up. And I watched as I reached for the phone and no, I'm not doing that. And just being with the discomfort and then this whole thing happening with making a poor driving decision that then brought up this whole reaction that distracted me from the discomfort, and then getting into a whole story, making a story out of the whole thing. I mean, it was fascinating.
Yes, and you were there for the whole workshop, even though you were meant to go off at a number of junctures, right? That
yeah.
Poor driving decision was meant to take you off into a realm of self-hatred and whatever that would completely control your experience. But what you were committed to was just staying present with everything that arises as it arises. That's when we get to see the hidden stuff, huh?
Yeah. And there's still like it was that teeter-totter of going into conditioning, out of conditioning, into conditioning, into conditioning back to presence. And, and there's still a little bit of you're doing it. I'm still getting caught a little bit with the doing it wrong and just watching how that's happening.
Yes, and now at this point, very soon, when you have a chance, is the time to make the recordings, right? So that you capture that whole process. Everything that you just told me and all of the stuff that you didn't have time to tell me or didn't come up in this, you want to capture all that on a recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that you don't lose sight of it.
Yeah, I made a couple recordings, and I was going to go back and listen and kind of see what else is coming up around it later today.
Yep. And I hope you do write out, since you had that insight so clearly, write out the I'm being pulled into X in order a conversation about X in order to avoid the experience of X.
Mm-hmm.
And then just see, you know, anxiety, resentment, fear, dread. How many things could fit into that X?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ellie.
Take care. Go happy.
Sure, I'm going to bring on another caller. We have time for more.
Oh, good.
All right. Caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, it's Mark in Arizona.
Hey, Mark. With a great connection.
Amen.
Perfect.
Thank you. Well, so I'm reporting in. It's been a while since I have been had the opportunity to talk with you all. During the email class, this is slightly rehearsed. I don't normally rehearse, but I really want to share this. During the email class, there was a time when you suggested, as I understood it, that really conditioning, which I would experience as kind of the judge, I had for years experienced it as the judge, is actually talking to another version of conditioning, which for my purposes I view as the hungry ghost, simply because I discriminate between the two ideas. And that hungry ghost of idea or existence kind of wraps itself around me, and I identify with it. So I believe that I am what that is, or what it purports to be. And so then it is full of character, personality. That is really what it is. And so that character, personality process it serves as a limitation on life, which is bubbling through, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
So then whenever the issue comes up, now for me, it's like a revelation, because whenever the, you know, like conditioning is saying such and such, and then it's actually not me that's getting beat up. It's not me that's being told how stupid they are or whatever, you know, it's that hungry ghost. And as long as I'm identified with it, then I experience it personally. But all I have to do is kind of realize I'm in a movie theater and I'm watching this movie and it's happening, you know, kind of around me. That's an amazing revelation, because it's right?
I mean, it's kind of everything, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Really?
And the word that you use, Mark, that is the key word. You realize that you were watching.
Right.
That what you are, and all, that's why I go nuts with italics and quotes, you know, that quote marks and that sort of thing. Because how do we talk about what you are? You just laid out at least two ways that you are, in quotes, that we know you're not. But the whole world would say, well, that's how you are, but you're not. And what you have seen is that what you experience as you is the awareness that is aware.
Hey, really? So just to squeeze in one other incredible revelation, that is that life, that what is happening is that life is like painting a painting that is constantly being renewed, constantly. And I am that painting, as is everything else. Mm-hmm. And so life loves me and perhaps even loves the experience. It's more like process, right? That's all happening. And all the time, life is watching. I can feel it in the center of me. So the watching is an expression of that experience.
So what if Janice is right and play is the way? And now we're in the land of Hinduism, right, where that's the explanation for this. God is playing. And your image of a painting, a painting that's never finished. an endless painter adding this, changing that, covering over that, bringing out that, focusing on that, and loving the process of painting.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Absolutely. In fact, it's almost like a mirror for her life, I put it as a female, that she and the painting are a continuous expression of each other. It is a continuous, it's not separate.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And that is what's happening right this second, right here, right now.
For all of us, yes, with everything, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't get to enjoy it because we're in that. If I have a conversation about X, I'll be able to avoid having the experience of X. That's what happens to us instead of realizing that mirroring joy of play.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So the playing is bubbling up all the time through here. And then there are these constructs, which are personalities. And we used to call them subpersonalities. I think we now call them facets of personality, which is probably a better expression. And that's kind of laid over. So if I'm having some difficulty, if I'm experiencing some, disturbance, all I really need to do is look to that facet of personality, which is wrapped around, and notice that it's having the difficulty. It's set all this up, and it's not me, because I'm right here with life. She's just bam.
Yeah. And all of that is part of the painting.
And now we
go into the other part of the game that is what God in this giant game is doing is waking up.
Yeah,
as you say, waking up to herself, realizing, that feels like that. And when that happens, I see. And we can feel the joy of it, can't we?
Because when I make a recording and then I listen to the recording, it's a mirror of the same process. It's process of waking up to what is happening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I totally love
it. I do too.
And I thank you so much.
I just wrote down again that I don't know where it came from or what tradition to attribute it to, but calling this the master game, that's what this is. It just everything else in life pales in comparison to this master game of awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And art, music, play of all kinds is a kind of abstracted or drawn together. It's a more condensed version of that process.
Yes. Well, all of those things take us to this place beyond the our conventional way of experiencing life. So we touch into a direct expression of that which is.
Yeah. Well,
thank
I'm just to let
so
you know
so glad.
it's Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead. It's happening. It's happening right here, right now, all the time.
Yeah, and with a very clear connection.
Yeah, this time. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thank you so much, both of you.
So happy. Bye-bye.
Yes, I'm delighted. Bye.
Thanks, Mark. Mm. Well, that brings us to the end of a wonderful show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
What do you have in your life, and what do you exclude from your life in order to avoid discomfort? Record and listen.
Hmm. Boy, this gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it?
Mm, it sure does. Mm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Gotcha.